Our scheduled preacher for today contacted me about an hour and a half ago and said he is very sick today. So you may have heard a sermon I'm preaching today before. My apologies. Our text before us is taken from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. St. Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to ask you to use your imagination for my introduction today. Imagine a group of maybe 5 or 6, 14 or 15-year-old boys who are hanging out kind of in a public park area, happens to butt right up against some property of a very wealthy man with a beautiful, beautiful estate. And these boys enjoy picking up rocks and trying to hit things in this man's property, the house, windows, his car, and enjoy just throwing things and seeing if they can challenge each other to hit different things in this man's property, sometimes even trying to hit him when he's out gardening. And one day, this man calls the police on these boys, and they grab one of them. The rest get away, but they grab one of them, and they bring this man, they bring him to the man's house to identify him. And the man looks at him, the cop is holding him, and he says, "Yep, that's one of them." But he says to the police officer, "Would you please let him go? I want to talk to him myself for a while." So the police officer drives away, and he says to this 14-year-old boy, "Come into my house." And he comes inside the house. He says, "I want to give you a tour of my estate." And he shows him a big, beautiful room, takes him through a nice game room. It's got a pool table and air hockey and all the different games you could want, and takes him out through the back. There's a beautiful swimming pool, partly covered for indoor swimming, and then it's got a place where you can go outside. Takes him into the kitchen, shows him his refrigerator, well-stocked with just tons of wonderful food, and walks him throughout the house, shows him different bedrooms and so on, and this 14-year-old is wondering, what is this all about? And he finally says, "Come into my study." And he brings him into his study, sits him down by his desk, and he takes out some papers, and he puts it in front of the boy, and he says, "I want to show you something." He says, "I know your family, and I want to show you my will, my last will and testament." And here in the bottom paragraphs, this young boy's name is in that will to inherit part of the estate of this man. And part of it is to be able to have this actual home that he's walked him through. And so he says to this young man, "This is what you're going to get someday, because I care about you. Would you please stop throwing rocks at my house? Please stop throwing things at my house." The next day, when that 14-year-old goes back to his group of friends, and they want to start doing that, he has a whole different perspective on things. He has a completely different motivation in his mind and heart because he now knows the gracious, merciful heart of the man that owns the house. And it is going to change his behavior. It transforms how he thinks about what he's going to do with those rocks in his hand. Years ago, I was pastor of a church nearby, and there was a student on campus here who actually met somebody that at work. They were working at a factory in town, and just through their evangelism, a friend of theirs that they worked with became a Christian. Hadn't been a Christian before and became a Christian. I took him through adult instruction at our church and was very excited to learn the gospel and so on. And I remember he came back to see me a couple months later after he joined our church, and he said, "I've got a problem. the group of guys that I used to hang out with, and we still would meet at Barnes & Noble and talk at night and stuff, they're all very anti-Christian, and they're very ungodly, you might say. And he said, now that I've become a Christian and I realize how wonderful it is what my Savior has done for me, I still want to keep them as friends, but it makes it so hard and so difficult because I have a different way of looking at life now. I have a whole different perspective on my life. This is the transforming power of the gospel. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, begins his letter talking about just how deeply depraved and sick we are in sin. He uses passages like this: there's no one righteous, not even one. All have turned away and together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Passages we know well. And yet now, he goes on through chapters 3 and 4 and 5 and so on to present to us the beautiful, wonderful gospel of Christ and what he's done for us. I'm just going to read some of the passages and just reflect on these, okay? He says to Christians, we are justified freely by God's grace. Freely, that means to be declared right with God, justified, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. He says this, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. In chapter 8, he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no chance of being condemned by God. He says, we now rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still throwing rocks at the estate, God put us in his will to inherit heaven someday. So God now comes to us through your baptism and through his word, and he says, you're my child. Even though you don't deserve it, like that kid, even though you don't deserve it, I love you enough to have put you in my will, and I'm just going to give you heaven as a gift because of the work of my son. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, everybody in this room can be absolutely positive you're going to live in heaven someday. Isn't that amazing? Now, Paul says, looking back on this and understanding what this means for your life and your future, he says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't go back to the group that's throwing rocks at the house. Okay, be transformed. Have a renewed mind. Have a new perspective on your life. Now, this is very challenging for us because of our sinful nature that I know I still drag around with me, we feel the pressures of the world to conform to what the world wants and what our sinful flesh would like to be part of. The word conform here is a Greek word that would be used if you were talking about someone making pottery with clay and shaping things with their hand. Just like a potter can take that on a wheel, if you ever watch them while it's spinning, and shape that soft clay. The same thing can happen to us with the world. We can be conformed and shaped to what the world wants and how it thinks about things. But Paul is saying, don't let that happen to you. Now that we have toured the mansion through God's word, now that we know what our Savior's done for us, now that we know how wonderful heaven is going to be for us someday, and it's all a free present just because of the mercy of God through the work of Christ, in view of God's mercy, be transformed in our thinking. It's the same word that the Greek uses for metamorphosis, like a beautiful butterfly that now transforms into something different. So I need to ask myself, what acts of vandalism am I tempted to commit against this wonderful God who has saved me? What are the rocks that I like to throw at God in my life? What are the places where I need to let the wonderful grace of God transform my thinking and cleanse my thoughts and my attitude about things? God, the very one who has called you to be his child and has given you the hope of heaven, asks you now to present your very life to him as a living, not a dead, a living sacrifice of thanksgiving, knowing everything that he has done for you in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are so bombarded with temptations in the sinful world in which we live, and our sinful flesh loves to join together with them. We pray that you would stir up our hearts of faith, that we may be transformed by your word and the wonderful knowledge that we have of Christ our Savior. Work in our hearts that we may cling to Christ alone for our hope of heaven, and show wonderful examples of that in our day-to-day lives. We thank and praise you for calling us to be your children and baptizing us into the holiness of Christ, and remind us constantly that we are your saints bound for heaven. We pray this all in the name of our Savior. Amen. And now may the triune God who has claimed you in your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.